We're going to approach working with the low side of someone's Enneagram style and offer it as a kind of defense, a kind of way in which a person is caught in their own pattern, getting in their own way, and also producing their own misery or their own discomfort.
Yeah.
I come out of a background of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and also Ericksonian hypnosis. I tend to regard these things as trances, that the deepest trance of all is personality. But when you're really caught in the grip of your style, when you're really kind of reproducing it, when you're in that trance, we're going to sort of approach it from the standpoint of it being a defense. Maybe fighting an old battle, defending against some old phenomena that used to happen that was too much for you, was overpowering in an emotional way, or confusing and confounding on an early level in life. Approaching it as well as something that's self-generated and is a kind of loop. You're in a trance, you're your own self-hypnotist, and then we're going to offer and work on ways to snap out of it. We talk about type a lot, but everybody's an individual. What that means is that people are prepared for different experiences at different stages with this stuff. And we'd like to encourage you to respect your own individuality in this way and hopefully have brought something to the party that you would like to change, that you would like to have more choices about, a suffering you'd like to be relieved of, and an opening that might lead to a variety of levels that are much more comfortable within your experience.
And one of the big challenges of working with any system like the Enneagram has to do with something that philosophers and psychologists call reification. How many people have heard of reification? A few. It's to start to think that a concept is the thing. When we start going around saying, I am a four, I am a nine, I am a six, etc., we're concretizing something that's not concrete. It's the same with the instincts or the subtypes. I am a sexual or I am a one-to-one. Absolutely defeats what that material's for.
It's turning a verb into a noun.
It makes us stop looking. When we're doing inner work, there are two moving targets. One of them is that we're not any single process. You and I sitting here in these chairs right now, consider the thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not millions of processes that are going on, making it possible for us to have this conversation. Like all your biological, chemical processes, physical processes, cosmological processes that are making this environment possible. I mean, an endless number of things are happening right now, and you can say I to any bit. What the Enneagram is trying to show us is the habit of saying I to certain things. And if we go around and say I am this, we've just negated the whole point of the lesson. Given all that, it's also a really weird and interesting thing that we can shift where we look from. Usually we're unconsciously identified with something and attributing all sorts of things to this thing that we're assuming we are. So they go, that's me, and say I to it, and then just add decorations. That's not going to awaken us very much, but it will be a great fodder for our narcissism when we're explaining what it's like to be a four. And ones really are this way. There's a way that we can look at these things from different angles and perspectives. Also from the classical spiritual, realization is not adding some experience to the one I think I am. It's a shift of locus of what's looking. And that's the point. The Enneagram makes you aware of what you were saying I to.
So within each Enneagram style, there's an over-identification with one part of your experience and an under-identification with another. You might call it an ideal, a picture of the self that you prefer, and then a shadow. One of the things we wanted to do today was work with shadows and work with sort of integrating those polarities within ourselves.